Blog Talk Radio.
I can hear it again.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we've just got a compelling question. We are in The Coaching Habit by Michael Stanier. And, boy, you know, if he's got so much on the Internet that really want to encourage people that if you listen to any of these conversations or you love this one and you want to learn more, really go and check this out because it's, you know, again, it's The Coaching Habit. And he's got a TED Talk we're going to be talking about a little bit later that Miss Judy had found. So let me go ahead and properly introduce my lovely co-host on this lovely cafe. Miss Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm focusing.
Oh. Let's get our little tones going on here. And Miss Judy Chicano.
Yo, what's up? So here's what I say. My sister Amy goes ding, but I go.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Winner, chicken dinner.
That's right. It's just going to turn into a game show. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. So today we're going to be talking about the third question. There's actually seven of these great questions, and boy, I've been really loving these conversations and really taking them into your life. Looking at them, and if you haven't had a chance, go back and look at all the different things about creating great habits. We've got two shows that are really good about, you know, keeping a habit journal, working with that, and we would love to have any of you guys, you know, going over to the Transformation Cafe over on Facebook and letting us know how that's working for you, because that's something that, you know, I'm continually doing that. I'd love to get a little feedback on that. How about you, Judy? Are you still working with that?
Oh, yeah, I'm working with that all the time, and that has really put me into a place of processing with a lot of internal thoughts that I've had. And so it gains steam and it gains momentum depending on how deep you want to go. I knew when I started my habit journal that there was one particular habit that I needed to get to, but I wasn't brave enough to take that on the first week. And have I done it yet? No, but I'm getting closer because I know I need to, right? And so, it's good. Yeah,
you know,
challenge yourself, but be kind and gentle.
I don't want to be, you know, it's like Pavlov's dog. Let's give you some positive reinforcement here.
How about you, Amy? Well, for me, it's really focusing on when am I an automatic pilot and just doing what I, you know, that I feel safe doing or that I know how to do, or when am I really being aware? And I think that's really taking the time to feel the difference. And then once you know you can kind of feel yourself moving towards the oh crap I'm starting to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in a way the automatic pilot is kind of shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And being aware is like really what's happening for me, what's happening with the other person, what's happening with what's going on.
Yeah, and for me, it's been really great for this last couple of things getting into the questions because having that along with working with the different things, just like Judy's, you know, talking about things that I haven't been really ready to do, for me, it was really being able to just ask for help and coming from that different place of, you know, allowing people to be there for me and yet still having it where, you know, I can stand on my two feet, do what I need to do, but know that I've, you know, people got my back. And boy, isn't that a nice thing to be coming into that with having a new way of habits of just, you know, knowing that that's, you know, something that's really there to teach me and to show me. So go ahead, Amy.
Well, one of the things I've been working on is the 12-step Buddhist and compassionate recovery and kind of pairing it with this and how what is really happening, being aware from that calm place, you know, and I think that really can help us make a difference of learning what is that calm place and what is really going on here, which we're really going to step into about focus. What is really going on here for me?
Well, and I'd like to say, and that challenges you to look at your behaviors and your habits.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you create to not get to that calm place or to embrace that calm place?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we have patterns that keep us either away or close to that place.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason why the habits journal is such a great thing, because it's those little nuances of how you're so slowly shifting that hopefully, you know, if you go back and be able to look at what you've been writing, maybe, you know, do a weekly review of just different kinds of things. One thing I like to do is as I'm journaling, maybe I'll underline certain aspects of what I wrote. So when I go back and look at my review for the week, I, you know, those are things that are going to jump out at me, but it's almost like the things you don't underline. It's like those subtle things that, you know, finally you can look at them in a different way that I think can really help you. So, you know, again, I really encourage you to go back and look at those two episodes that are really great for you.
I got to just say one thing. I was flying home last week, and I was really into this book. I've been wanting to read this book, and if anybody knows me, I don't read books, so this book was really important to me. I had my yellow highlighter out because that's how my brain integrates things. I'm highlighting stuff, and I'm sitting in first class, which was an awesome situation that I got blessed with, and there's this guy next to me that was just kind of like really interested in what I was doing, but he wouldn't act like he was interested. Real like, you know, he owns some company or something. He was hilarious to watch because every time I opened up my yellow highlighter, he looked at me. And so I want you to, when you think about that and when you integrate things into your life or habits, really think about, what am I opening that highlighter? And look at yourself and go, whoa. That was so exciting to me when every time he did that. I just kept messing with him because I wanted him to do it every time.
Well, you know, I mean, it just makes me think, you know, what's the highlight of my day?
Yeah.
You know, let me go through and highlight those different things. Like, you know, just the same thing when it comes to gratitude. It's like that, the review of, you know, I'm ready to go to bed. I'm like looking at my day, you know, what kind of happened. What are those things I want to be highlighting?
Right.
You know.
Right.
For me lately, it's been really hot here in California. So it's like when I can actually go to a parking lot, be able to park my car in the shade. I'm like, oh my God, that was so great.
Judy and I were watching Defending Your Life, which is one of my favorite movies, and it talks about, you know, the afterlife before the next life, and that you review moments in your life. And so if you cannot from a, you know, I'm being punished or whatever perspective, but it's like, what if, you know, at the end of my life, I'm going to review these moments. And I think it just really kind of helps, for me anyway, to be really aware of what is the beauty here, what, you know, what, how can I stand up? How can I be present for myself and others, knowing that, you know, that they come to Jesus, but it's like, you know, when I show those movies.
So let's reveal that or roll that back just a little bit more with what Robin just said. What if you did that at the end of your day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And replayed that minute or two that was just so significant to you.
That's what I do.
How do I recreate that in my life in a big way?
Well, and I think about that.
Powerful. Come on.
I look at that and I go, happy, happy.
Yeah.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. That was a happy, happy, joy moment in my life, in just my day. You know, and that could be, you know, you're opening. I always have the habit, and it's just done it pretty much all my life, is I hold doors for people and I look at them and I try to make contact. Or, mm-hmm. you know, you're at the register and you really make contact with the person who's working, you know, who's checking you out, that kind of thing. So I had the same thing happen that day when I got the great shade. It was just like, you know, that you could just tell you had that soul moment with somebody when you just open the door out of kindness, and you just look at that person that is like, wow. And you see me.
Yeah.
You see me, because it's so important. You know, we want to be heard. We want to be seen.
Right.
It's just two things that are just so human elements that just we need in our lives. That's why, you know, connection is so important, and we really learned the value of that with COVID. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of, like, we need to have those connections with each other. So this episode's about the focus question, and I love that it's moving beyond ghosting, coaching the ghost. And we're going to talk about coaching the ghost in a little bit, which is really good. And if you think they just want to do that, they love the whole ghost idea. We're going to have a ghosting thing happening. But one thing I love about Michael's book is, like, he'll take a whole page and give you a great concept, you know, these great ideas. So one of the ones in this chapter is, without a good question, a good answer has no place to go. And, boy, isn't that a really great thing to be thinking about. That would be something you could put on your wall and just, like, own it every day. It's like, you know, what are my good questions and making sure that I'm highlighting them. Right? That could be the highlight thing that you're doing too, is like the things that you're asking questions. And I, you know, it's just, you know, and going back to the asking you shall receive, and it's all that, is like even on a biblical level, God really wants us to be asking questions, being curious about life, and having childlike wonder is something that's going to be very, very important to having all these kinds of things. So the focus question is, what's the real challenge for you here? And we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit, because, you know, one thing that Michael talks about with this chapter is that, you know, this could be a totally different question depending on what you do with it. So he's like, you know, what's the challenge here? Really doesn't give you something that you can really chew on. So there's, you know, with the first component that I really want to talk about, you know, what's the real challenge? So, you know, and another quote that he had for this chapter was, focus on the real problem, not the first problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always these things that are leading you to what you think. We've talked about this before with other questions, but it's, you know, don't automatically think it's that knee jerk of like, it's my first response. Because more times than not, you know, allow yourself to do some processing and just say, and what else, and what else, and what else. Go ahead, Amy.
So when he talks about, and I'd love to hear the take on all three of you on this, I know when I'm working with people or in organizations, when they come to me with an issue or problem, however you want to frame it, very rarely is that what's really the problem. And so it's really about and having the finesse, you know, and the intuition to work with it. And he talks about here on this on page 82, so when people start talking about the challenge at hand, there usually isn't that first one. And so then when you start jumping in to fix things, things go off the rails in three ways. You work on the wrong problem, you do the work of your team, or the work doesn't get done.
I love how you talk about that organizationally, because I can't even tell you how many times I've partnered with organizations with Career Institute, and they do. They come in with a symptom, but it's not the root, right? You've got to get down to the root. And so that's a conversation that you have leader to leader, because the leader has to first recognize that this is the real problem here, and it could be them. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you
more
have to have that
not.
Dialogue, right?
More times than not.
Right, because people are following whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What I like to tell people is you're trying to put out the smoke. You're not even
to the fire.
What the fire is.
Yeah.
So we're spending all our time on the smoke.
Well, you know, and I think it's just kind of a thing that we teach. That, you know, is like, okay, figure something out and start fixing it right away.
Right.
So it's not even a matter of taking the time to be able to, you know, let me just, you know, ponder this. Let me sit with this. Let's have conversations about what it could be, what it is, that kind of thing. And just being able to have multiple, you know, perspectives in a room can be so important, instead of having yourself where you just, you know, you're just coming from the stagnant thing of like, this is what I see. So it's so important to be able to have it where you can do that. So one of the things that Judy came across is like Michael's got, like I said, so many wonderful things on the internet, and he's got a TED Talk. Ironically, he did in March of 2020, right before the shutdown of COVID, which I think is so interesting. And it's called How to Tame Your Advice Monster. So here we're going to talk about, you know, being able to let go of the fact that you're trying to be, you know, automatically fixing things that you think it is.
So I love this so much, because that's really one of the things I'm challenged with in life, is not getting to the root of something sometimes because I'm too busy thinking I have such great ideas, right?
Well, we all do.
Yeah. And so I really have to say to myself, and this is what he says in here, it's not about advice. Your best advice to somebody is asking them a better question, and continue to ask those questions, right? How would that feel if it looked, how would you feel if you were able to accomplish that in your life? What would you do to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth the price you would have to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just really delving down. And then when you get to all those, you say, and what else?
Mm-hmm.
What else? Mm-hmm. What else is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, you're starting up here at the top of the tree, and you're working your way down to the roots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And really, sometimes you even have to like graphically draw a tree and say, okay, this is where we're starting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now let's work our way down the branch. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I really admired this a lot, because I convicted myself and said, girlfriend, shut your mouth.
Right.
Just listen, people need to be heard now, babe.
Yeah.
And so I just loved it. I would totally encourage people to watch this.
So the name of it is?
How to Tame Your Advice Monster, and it was March 13, 2020.
For Michael, and it's Bungay Stanier. So it's, you know, and I think if you put how to put in advice, just put advice monster, and he's going to pop up. Because that's not, it's something that he's kind of coined as an idea that's really something that's taken off. So I think it's really good with that. So he's got three different basic things within this chapter that I think they're really good. We're starting to get up to the ghost. So here we go. So the first one he called the proliferation challenges, and this is kind of like the popcorn thing that you're talking with a friend and you're like trying to work out what my question really should be, or what I really want to be looking for solutions for. And he said, you know, you might have this brainstorming or just this really good conversation with somebody, but then you have to narrow it down to say, I need to pick one thing. that I'm working on this thing. It's no longer going to be the different things that pops for me. It's the thing that really in my heart that I know that I need to go to and be able to look at. So it's like, what's the real challenge for me here? And when you really bring it down to yourself and really being in a place of being reflective with it instead of just focusing on the problem, it's like, how do I relate to that problem is something that's really good.
One of the things that you talked about, you said, now, great, you've probably mastered that second question of the seven, and what else? He says, you need to be careful of that because you may be overwhelmed, and you need to get that focus going so you really can be there for them and yourself in time, you know, and right there in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing it's like, oh, you need to stop asking this open-ended and maybe bring it in a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I liked about the TED Talk video that I watched is that, yes, be there for them when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But he also says the greatest gift that you can give somebody is not the advice, because that's your lesson,
mm-hmm.
is by staying curious in their lesson,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so continuing to think to yourself the entire time they're talking, of what's the best question I can ask them to help them get on the highway to that learning.
Right. Well, and it's just like you being on the airplane with this guy. You've got your highlighter.
Oh, so
you're ready.
Funny.
I've got my highlighter. I'm ready.
It was so
I'm waiting for the next thing to highlight.
And I intentionally, like, didn't do eye contact with him because I was enjoying it so much.
It was awesome. So, you know, getting into coaching the ghost idea for Michael is this whole idea that it's just a kind of a deer in headlights when you can't articulate, you know there's something there, it's very transparent, it's something you can't necessarily, be able to make it a solid thing for you. And he calls it an SOS, which is the shiny object syndrome.
Sure.
It's like you're looking at all these different things and it's just like, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. So a lot of that is just, you know, he said one of the things that one of his other quotes I really loved in here is, that silence is a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that's really good. You know, it's just like, be still and you will know. So allow yourself to be in that. So it's about being able to refocus and being in that place of like, you know, what's the real challenge for me here?
So people who support people, which the three of us are, and I imagine a lot of the people who are listening to this are, as you're working with other people, there's also messages for yourself. So what I encourage you to do is that when that pops up, just take a note. I need to go look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're having reoccurring themes in the people you're supporting, you're really being messaged to look at that in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you need somebody to help you walk through it.
Absolutely.
And to stay in it.
Yes.
That's one thing that both of you do for me is you listen to what I'm talking about, and then you hold me through those conversations when I'm ready to move on because I don't want to look up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's like, oh, these questions help you to go, okay, I guess we're staying here.
It's like being on the edge.
We're staying here.
Well, it's the edge. And when you're working an issue, I really want to admit that there's a physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual component to everything you're working. And it's really easy to go to the physical, oh, this is what's happening here, and the head answers. But there may be emotional, there may be beliefs.
There are.
All right, closing my punch. But yes, there are.
Hello. So, you know, be able to, you know that that ghost is actually there to serve you. You know, it's a happy servy ghost. And it's something that could really, you know, maybe it's the highlighter, the ghost with a highlighter that can really help you to be able to connect to that thing that you've been, you know, thinking that it's just out of your reach when it's actually been there the whole time. I think that's something to look at. So, and then the last one he talks about is called abstractions and generalizations. So, of course, it's like you're talking or you're like thinking about something and just like Judy said, you know, I'm going off to the next thing and just really not really allowing myself to just keep it on an abstract level of like, let me tell you about my friend John or whatever. So, you know, you get into that as the story instead of saying, let me tell you how that affected me and being able to look at that. So it's really coming from that place of being able to be an observer but also be personal at the same time, being able to witness yourself and the way you see yourself. And that's just something kind of a skill that can be very satisfying and very, you know, rich once you can, you know, learn to be able to do that. And it's, again, as part of that, I think, is going into, you know, working with your habit journal and things like that. You know, these things that I'm allowing myself to put down on paper, I don't want to share with anybody, but it really helps me to give insights to myself about how I really feel about something. And that can be very, very powerful. You know, he calls that the marathon effect about, you know, never getting to the point when you allow yourself to be an abstract. Actions. So, you know, being able to have something where you can just like allow yourself to do, I can be focused in it. It can be something that's very beneficial for me.
So if you're feeling like, oh, yay, I'm getting lots of information and this is really great, but you're getting overwhelmed and they may be getting overwhelmed, here's taking the same question and kind of making it a little more specific. If you had to pick one of these to focus on, which one here would be the real challenge for you?
Yeah. Right, because it's a scatterboard otherwise, right? There's all this stuff laying out there, and that's an intentional tactic some people do sometimes to not move forward, right? And so really helping them focus in on, great, what's the thing today, right? What are we going to work on, and how are we going to do it, right? You drive this. I'm just here in the car next to you.
Yeah, yeah. I can be a good sidekick for you,
right?
When it comes to that kind of stuff. So, and again, remind you guys, you know, one of the things that it's totally free with this stuff is going to Michael's stuff. He's got the box of crayons. And in this chapter, it calls The Paradox of Choice. And it really talks about for you and being able to break down, you know, the importance of the real challenge for you and, you know, helping you to figure out, you know, what this really is. And he says, when you can do that with that whole paradox of choice, he says it makes it so much easier to have faster and more accurate ways of being able to get very clear about the focus of what I have going on and what it really, really means for me. Judy's all looking online here.
And she brings in really great information that's really helpful. I want to go to he talks about trusting that you're being useful. And I think that having that confidence, working on your intuition, having really good skills, you know, I think it's really important that you're working on your emotional intelligence, positive psychology, you know, resilience tools, because you're going to be put to the test. When you're supporting other people, really in the guise of supporting yourself, really ultimately, right, you know, they're going to push you. And so you have to find ways, how do I trust myself, right, in the middle of the storm? And being clear about what your role is. You know, we talked about being a great listener. Yes, that's wonderful, and I really want you to work on that skill. But there's times when you need to bring in another question. And not only knowing that, that's what being a really good critical thinker is asking really good questions at that right moment.
Right. I love this box of crayons thing because I hadn't thought about this for a long time. But one of my issues that I've thought about is I saw things very black and white for most of my life, right? I could do this or I could do this. I could do this or I could do this. And I just didn't ever give myself very many options because I think I was forcing myself into a way of comfortable movement.
Sure.
Right? And so about, oh gosh, 20 years or so ago, I said to myself, Judy, you have to come up with five options. Five options. And they all might not be great options, but you need to come up with five options, which helped me with my creativity. But I never really thought about it as a box of crayons. But when you think about it as a box of crayons and you have all these colorful things that are coming up and thinking about, then it just makes it a lot more fun. And so I really utilize this within my organization as well, because in every problem or opportunity for growth in an organization, everybody at the table is going to have their own box of crayons.
Right.
And so really getting people, could you imagine if you were sitting at a table and you presented an issue and you said, okay, everybody take five crayons, write down an option, and then took the time to share those as a group and come up with an even better list of options, be fantastic.
And it's a really great way of being able to color a problem in a very unique way.
Collectively. Right.
And, you know, and going into that, too, is just like, you know, there's so much that can go in with color. I mean, you can look at it emotionally, energetically, all kinds of things with a whole level of color. And one thing that I really love about Michael is, you know, it's curiously driven culture. So it's curiously, you know, the curiosity of being able to move into a place where you have more resilience, you're feeling more innovative, and you can feel like you can be successful. Because, again, it's about being a collective. You know, how much fun is one crayon?
Not fun.
That's, it could be pretty fun.
Okay. Yeah.
And, but I mean,
well, you know, what's like, you know,
right?
Yeah. So I used to train interns because when I worked for the federal government, that's how I got employees.
You know,
so the trick is you want to get them up to snuff, but then they don't steal them, which, you know, that's that balance. But what I found was I would have them look at a problem, come up with three potential solutions, and tell me why they chose those three and which one would they choose. And if it wasn't going to cause too much damage,
right,
let them do that. So
right.
They would get the result of their action.
Right. Right. That's brilliant. Because, you know, it's easy to tell somebody what to do, but do they learn? No.
You know, that's the beauty of, you know, raising teenagers, right? You mm-hmm. see all the things they want to do, and you're like, oh, my God, this is going to go bad. But sometimes you just have to let that
exactly.
happen.
You know, you want to pad that much sure. you can. But if it's, you know, again, if it's okay, you know it's probably going to go this way, and then, okay. But then, you cover them and say, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Personal development 101.
Amen.
Let's go back. You know, the focus question, what's the real challenge for you here? So just like, you know, quieting down and really looking at yourself, you know, am I seeking to solve the wrong problem?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a very viable question to ask yourself is like, is this the right question? And I think going to the, is this the wrong question is really powerful because it can have you be in a different way because we're always being geared to like, it's the right. Well, help me to be in a place of being able to say, well, maybe this is, or, you know, is this my best way of looking at this, that kind of thing too. And are you solving the problem yourself? Are you really looking to have a collective where you can, you know, find, you know, a group of, you know, fun-loving, you know, crayons that can be assisting you with that? And then being able to say, you know, not jumping in to fix that open challenge. You know, it's showing yourself that you can show your, you know, be able to, you know, look at something. Seek to be from a place of, I'm seeking to be in the heart of the issue. I'm seeking to be in the heart of this, and what is it telling me? So, you know, a really great exercise could be, you know, whether you do it with a group or other people is, you know, you take a few deep breaths together and then put your hands to your heart and then ask yourself, you know, what is the real challenge for them, you know, for us, for me here? And being able to just go with, you know, write down the first five things. I love that, Judy. Having five things that you write down. And then from those five things, you're going to be able to hone that, maybe reword it, work into a place where it can be in something that's even more, you know, feels more right and having that and letting go of all the things that are wrong.
Well, and redefining what's right and what's wrong. You know, and part of it really getting to the point, what's working, what isn't working, or is it, are we in, you know, automatic pilot as a company, as a person? And I really love going around and asking each person, you know, what do you see as the challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have the courage to listen to what they have to say.
Well, and you need to be careful about that because when you start that process, either you need to go first and be a great example and be vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to share at a level. Because however you have people start off sharing is the quality of answer you're going
That's
to get.
A good point.
And so you really have to kind of set that up to be successful.
Yeah, you know, because it's basically being the plant in the room, you know, or can you be somewhere? Anytime I've ever gone to any kind of workshops, you know, conferences and things like that, you know, especially when you're in a place of, you know, being able to assist or be a part of the, you know, the presentation, it's always nice to ask someone that can be there with you to just say, could you be there and be somebody who's really lifting those questions, lifting the perspective up. So it really gives people permission that you could be generous with one another and have things where you can be just really real with yourself and with others. So it just shows that we're safe here and we can do this.
And there's a fine line between this is what's happening, this is what I see, this is what I'm experiencing, and getting caught in your story.
Because
mm-hmm. you know people that tell the same thing over and over and over again. And that just, and it reinforces that automatic pilot. And
right.
we're not going to change and we're not going to grow if we're living in the same story over and over and over.
Right.
Well, and that's the abstractions and the generalities.
Right.
You know, you're getting into something that's general instead of being authentic to just you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's putting your little, you know, inner tube on for being in the pool kind of thing. So it makes it with that. So we got about a minute and a half. Amy, you want to get anything for maybe a quick exercise that could be helping them?
Well,
maybe something for the habit panel.
I really like what you both had said about, you know, certainly you want to put your hands on your heart and take a nice deep breath and ask yourself that question. What is real for me in this situation? Or what is it, however they phrased it? And then, you know, having the courage then, if I do that, you may do that internally even, you know, that they don't even know you're doing that. And then asking them, but start with yourself first.
Okay, so I've had two winners today. The whole positive, thinking about your day and reliving a minute in your life
mm-hmm.
that you were positive with
mm-hmm.
and enjoying that and learning from that and then reliving a minute in your life that you weren't so positive with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And reframing it for yourself to say, the next time I find myself in this situation, no, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z.
So the moment before you find yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
So
how do I stop?
Right, because
right.
I feel it's coming.
Yeah.
Or this is where my trigger is. Catch yourself then.
Right. Right. And be kind with yourself.
Absolutely.
Love yourself through it. It's not a question of judgment. It's a question of how do I not find myself in the hole?
Who is in my circle of safety that I can call maybe that moment before?
Right.
Well, and the real powerful thing here is to always remember that, you know, oh, wow, I have an awareness that I didn't have before.
It's a gift.
About what I'm doing or not
sure.
doing. So it's something that can help me to move forward, and I can be that model for other people. And, you know, as I'm just basically doing me, you do you, boo, can really help you to be on this. So thank you again for joining us. And that 30 minutes always goes so fast. And I love doing it with my lovely co-host, Diners here. So thank you so much for having us with you, and have a great day. We look forward to talking to you next week with a new question.
Woo!
Don't be ghosting, man.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.